It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Hey, good afternoon, Los Angeles. That's a double. Welcome and welcome to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC or at KBC.com at the Listen Live button. This is a special show, not only because my beautiful and talented co-host, Kerry Kasem, is not here in studio with me, but because we are doing a special show on workers' compensation, the demolition of workers' compensation. But before we get to the demolition of workers' compensation, and many of you know I am a workers' compensation attorney. In fact, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And here at Gervie's Law, we're trying to take negatives and turn them into positives. We have been so successful over the last couple of years. We are taking Murphy's Law. We are turning it upside down. Everything that can go wrong can also go right. And we are going to try to turn this demolition of workers' compensation around so that we will not have people suffering and you, the public, paying for work injuries instead of the wealthy insurance companies. Now, without further ado, I want to say hello to Kerry. Kerry, I miss you. Where are you?
I know. I miss you, too. I'm here in Las Vegas for the Billboard Music Awards. I just got finished interviewing Iggy Azalea, and before that, Britney Spears. So
no way.
You'll see, if you go to my Instagram, Kerry Kasem, or I can even put it up on Gervie's Law, too. I'll have Eric.
Yes, you better put it on Gervie's Law, because after all, Kerry, we put you on this assignment. You wanted desperately to be here in studio to talk about workers' compensation, but instead, you're on the red carpet in Las Vegas for the Billboard Music Awards. And that's a gift that we gave to you so that you would not be here when we have judges and attorneys and all of that stuff. Tell me a little bit, Britney Spears, what did she have to say?
I think we talked about being a mom, talked about having a show out here. She's very sweet, and it's really nice because we're with Dick Clark Productions, Cumulus, Westwood One, Red Carpet Radio. And so it's really nice. We have, the people that created the show behind us. So we get a lot of the A-list talent, which is really neat and really cool. And I'm just excited because not only do we get them today behind the scenes, but we're on the red carpet tomorrow. It was a blue carpet a couple years ago. I don't know what
it's
color
it is. It's red now.
But, yeah.
And you talked to Iggy Azalea? He's up for like 9 awards, I think.
I love her. And she's so sweet. And she's so nice. And she's very personable. And we actually talked a little bit about, we both ride horses. So we talked a little bit about horseback riding and stadium jumping, where she rides in L.A., and she's just very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
And I'm sure she's going to go right up against Taylor Swift. I mean, it's going to be an exciting event. You're so lucky to be there. And it's tomorrow night at 5 p.m. I think it's on ABC. Is that right?
Gosh, don't quote me. I don't want to, like, give the wrong – that would kill me if I actually gave the wrong channel. I think you're right.
Okay, well, we won't force you to do it, but we really miss you here. You know, last week, Kerry, we had so much mail on our show when we had Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom on.
Yes.
And that was at our Facebook page. That's Gervie's Law Facebook page. If you have any mail to send us, I'm just going to read you, Kerry, a couple of the emails that we received from last week's special Mother's Day show. So this is from Alicia in New Jersey. She wrote, "What a treat having hearing the personal side of Gloria Allred speaking together with her daughter attorney Lisa Bloom on Gervie's Law. Not sure there is a more powerful mother-daughter attorney tandem in the world. Thanks for saluting women in the law for Mother's Day."
awesome.
Isn't
that
nice?
Wonderful letter.
Yeah, yeah, and from Eduardo in Costa Mesa, great interview of Gloria Allred and her daughter Lisa Bloom. If everyone heard them speak on Gervais Law, they would have a better understanding of the passion they share for victims' rights. Their stories about gay marriage, the NFL sexual assault cases, and the penis attack were great radio.
It was one of my favorite shows. To have them both on was such a treat. And you know, who does that? Who gets Gloria Allred and Lisa Bloom, mother and daughter, you know, together on a show? And it says a lot about you, Alan. So I was just very happy to be a part of it.
Thank you, Karen. We were happy to have you. And, of course, if you didn't hear the show and you want to hear what Eduardo was talking about, the penis attack, you can listen to the show. We have our podcast at kbc.com or at rgwlawfirm.com. You can hear all the podcasts. You can hear the Mother's Day show. So, Carrie, before we let you go, because I know you have other people to interview, who do you think?
Fallout Boy is waiting for me.
Really?
I'm supposed to be interviewing them right now.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, no, they're
cool. Who are you going to interview? Pitbull?
I don't know if he's here. You know, if he's here, it's just depends on who comes. It's like a gifting suite, and then radio stations are set up around it, and it's just whoever decides they want to show up. So, I mean, tomorrow's really going to be the day where everybody is there, and we'll get everybody on the red carpet. And then not only do we have the red carpet, Westwood One's red carpet radio and Cumulus gets us backstage. So when people get off the stage, we get to interview them there too. So it's a great show. I'm just so happy to be a part of it.
Well, I'm happy you're there, and I hope everyone is thanking Gervais Law for allowing you to go this weekend to spend your weekend with Ludacris and Chrissy Teigen and everyone else who are part of the Billboard Music Awards. We are going to be talking in your absence about workers' compensation law. So I hope that you will forgive me. You know, there were a couple of very, very important stories that came out over the last couple months about the demolition of workers' compensation in America. And I know you know a little bit about it because we've talked about it. It was ProPublica and NPR, and that's National Public Radio, NPR and ProPublica, who came out with these investigative reports. ProPublica is a company that's based in New York City, and it's an independent nonprofit newsroom that produces investigative reporting in the public interest. And what they have said about workers' compensation and the shifting of costs to the public is really outrageous, and you will not want to miss it unless you're on the red carpet in Vegas.
Yeah, but you know what? What you're doing is so important, and it's really helping the world. I'm having fun, and, you know, it makes people smile, but really what you're doing is a crusade for good, and I just it's horrible what's happening to workers' comp.
You know, Carrie, I want to tell you what the mission of ProPublica is, because it says that they spur reform through the sustained spotlighting of wrongdoing, expose the abuses of power and betrayals of the public trust. That sounds very familiar to you, doesn't it? Because
it
we
sure
talked
does.
About the visitation bill that you have been doing on behalf of the Kasem Cares Foundation, of course, based on your father, Carrie Casey Kasem, and you understand wrongdoing, and you're changing things.
Yep, and so are you, and that's why we're such a great team on Gervais Law together. And it's true, you know. I know it sounds a little funny, but it's true. You know, we really want to help people and do the right thing, and not have people be exposed to what I had to go through and what you see every single day. You know, people not being taken care of, people not getting the right doctor's treatment or medication because somebody just in some room decides that they shouldn't get it. And it's just not fair. It's
all
not
right.
Fair.
Well, Carrie, that's a great introduction for our show. After the break, we're going to have with us Judge John Gutierrez, retired workers' compensation judge. He's going to be talking about workers' compensation, the ProPublica and NPR investigative reports. As well, we're going to have Jason Marcus, an attorney in Sacramento, and Robert McLaughlin, an attorney in San Diego. They're going to be joining us to talk about the demolition of workers' compensation as we know it. You're listening to Gervais Law. Carrie, have a great time in Vegas. I'll be watching tomorrow night. Thanks for being with
Alan.
Us.
Thanks, Alan.
All
Bye.
Right, take care. We'll be right back after this message.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
You've walked through 18 open houses. Your feet hurt and your head is buzzing. Living in a van is starting to sound strangely appealing. But then you hear it. The sound of hope. Of Zillow. You glance at your phone to see a three-bedroom Craftsman in the right school district. It's perfect, and it just showed up on your phone, like magic. So sign up for mobile alerts, and we'll send you homes that fit your criteria when they hit the market. And to think, you wanted to live in a van. Zillow. Find your way home.
Oldies, doo-wop, nostalgia. Dick Fox's doo-wop extravaganza on June 6th at the Arcadia Performing Arts Center brings the best of golden oldies live, featuring Lou Christie, The Fleetwood, Brian Hyland, Chris Montez, and The Happenings. Buy tickets at ArcadiaPAF.org.
The Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC and on the Armed Forces Network all over the world. It's Armed Forces Day, isn't it, Robert McLaughlin?
Yes, it is. And thank you very much for all our servicemen and veterans for serving our country.
And that was lawyer Robert McLaughlin from San Diego getting that special message out to our service people throughout the world as you're listening on KBC.com as well. And now we are shifting gears because we want to talk about workers' compensation. And I will tell you that there have been these shocking reports that have come out from NPR and ProPublica, two investigative report teams that have put together a number of reports stating that essentially the benefits for injured workers are being paid for the most part by the public and not by the insurance companies who are designed vis-a-vis the bargain to pay for injured workers. You and I are paying because of new laws that have been passed to prevent the insurance companies from paying for the cost of workers' compensation. We're going to start off with that concept right now. Robert McLaughlin, he's from San Diego. He's at the law firm of Robert McLaughlin, a workers' compensation applicant attorney. Tell us a little bit about the bargain.
Well, the bargain was supposed to be an understanding between labor and employers that employers would not be sued in civil court, in return for which laborers would get quick and expeditious resolution of their claims and fair benefits for their injuries, and most importantly, medical care quickly and properly. Unfortunately, it has not worked out the way it was promised. Approximately 10 years ago, the grand bargain has started to be dismantled little by little from state to state across the country. In essence, what the Chamber of Commerce and other employers and insurance companies will do, they'll find one state that would be willing to cut their benefits dramatically under the guise of trying to keep employment in their state. And then what they do is then they go to other states and they say, well, look at what, for example, Texas has done or Oklahoma has done. If you guys want to compete, you have to cut benefits, or we're going to have to start picking our employers, and they're going to pick up and move to other other states like Texas or Oklahoma. So that's the little games that they play.
You know, Bob, on the PBS NewsHour, Judy Woodruff interviewed Michael Graybell and Howard Berkus. Michael Graybell with ProPublica and Howard Berkus with NPR. And Howard Berkus stated
that business keeps complaining about the cost of workers' compensation insurance and then goes to lawmakers in the state and couches it in terms of being able to compete against other states to cut the cost down so business can remain in the state. But the investigative reporters found that that wasn't true at all, that it really doesn't impact business to business and businesses coming to one particular state. Jason Marcus, he's an attorney with Marcus Regalado and Marcus in Sacramento. Jason, thanks for coming down to L.A. to do this show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a treat to be here. It just so happened I was down here for the Democratic convention in Anaheim, and so it was kind of serendipitous. Got to be here in the studio, and I'm thrilled to be here.
And we thought you were coming specifically to be on Gervie's Law.
Well, yeah, I take it back. I was going to be here for the show, and it just so happened that the Democratic convention is happening this weekend as well.
Absolutely.
So how about that?
That's it. That's it. So tell us about this report, and tell us how the reporters, investigative reporters, and their independent investigative reporters, yes, we may be applicant attorneys who represent injured workers, but the fact of the matter is we are talking about investigative reports from across the country that show a shifting of costs to the public.
Yeah, so these reporters spent months and months talking to injured workers, their representatives, other people in the industry all over the country, and have put out this wonderful series of stories. And what they found is that over the last 10 to 20 years, roughly, that there have been a number of changes in the laws and workers' compensation state by state that have effectively stripped rights, stripped benefits from injured workers, all in the guise of cost savings. And like you say, these concerns about employers don't want their costs to be too high. And while we're certainly cognizant of those costs, and it's important to keep them in check, the fact of the matter is workers' compensation is a benefit delivery system. It exists and has always existed to provide benefits to people that have been hurt on the job. And as those benefits have been stripped away, there has not been anything else within the workers' comp system that's been put in place to make up those benefits. So what has happened is that workers have had to turn to alternative programs, such as state disability here in California, to make up their lost income, or turning to things like Medicare or Medi-Cal, turning to things like Social Security disability benefits, the federal program. So all these things that used to be provided by workers' comp have been taken away, and it's shifting that to the public or the taxpayers in
right.
many cases.
And when we talk about Obamacare, we talk about a situation where people can get insurance regardless of past injuries, regardless of pre-existing conditions. So a lot of the workers' comp people obviously have pre-existing conditions. But when their treatment is denied through workers' comp, all of a sudden we're paying for the treatment if they have secured Obamacare.
Precisely.
And, you know, it's not just NPR. It's not just ProPublica. There have been a number of other organizations who have come out and spoken about these articles by the two organizations. And these are independent companies or organizations. The Columbia Journalism Review, which is under the auspices of the Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, wrote as follows: Graybell and Berkus reveal one unsavory detail after another in a powerful package of stories, interactives, and photos describing how over the past decade, state after state has been dismantling America's workers' compensation system with disastrous consequences for many of the hundreds of thousands of people who suffer serious injuries at work each year. So that's one organization. Cheat Sheets. Sam Becker wrote, "Guess who usually ends up paying for workplace injuries?" It's crazy how this is so widespread and the public doesn't know anything about it. If you are shocked right now, you can call us right here at KBC at 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-KABC. If you have a story about your workers' compensation problems, give us a call. You have two attorneys and you have a judge here, Judge John Gutierrez, who is retired. He retired this year. And I just want people to understand where Judge John Gutierrez comes from, because this is a decision that he wrote in a case, and this is what he stated. And you know, Judge Gutierrez, I'm not sure if I would have had the guts to say it, so I take my hat off to you. He wrote, "In my opinion, it would appear that our current workers' compensation laws were guided through the legislature and devised by a certain capital class and their lobbyists with powerful financial influence who by their actions do not appear to value the well-being of injured workers and would rather see the return of the Industrial Revolution and rid capital industry of the responsibility placed upon industry by the bargain. Judge Gutierrez, welcome to Gervais Law. Tell us about that quote and why you said that.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. I stand by that quote. And it's interesting how they have come about indicating reform. Unfortunately, it appears that we're going back to, we're coming full circle again. We're going back to the Industrial Revolution days where injured workers were injured and there was no remedy for them. There was no medical care. There was no temporary disability. They had to rely on charity to take care of their immediate medical needs, take care of their families. There was nothing to protect them. This was something that shocked the social conscience of our country at that time. And what I have always said is that workers' compensation is a moral and social economic contract with injured workers and their families, past, present, and future.
And that makes a lot of sense, Judge Gutierrez. And I'll tell you, though, that your comments in certain cases, and that case was the Ralph Loinichen case, that case drew a lot of interest from the media. In fact, on July 16th, 2014, an article was written in Work Comp Central saying, Judge delivers scathing rebuke of IMR, which, of course, is Independent Medical Review. In that article, David Lanier, the California Labor Secretary, Secretary of the Labor and Workforce Development Agency, was quoted as saying that we're not going to be able to control every random judge that's out there. So he was referring to you as a random judge, and he was referring to the government controlling the judges. How does that make you feel?
Well, it doesn't make me feel very good at all. I didn't take that quote very
seriously.
I was being a judge. I was applying the principles and the concepts of what workers' compensation is, and I was relying on Article 14, Section 4 of the California Constitution, which indicated that medical treatment is defined by what is reasonable and necessary medical care to cure or relieve. In that case, in the Ralph Loinichen case, there was such a cynical approach that they took that if you can't cure the individual, then don't even bother providing any further treatment. That's not what the law is. The law is to cure or relieve. So,
all right. Well, you know, I understand that. But, Bob McLaughlin, tell us about IMR, because the judge is talking about something that a lot of people may not understand, Independent Medical Review. We only have another minute until the news. But if you can just briefly tell us what IMR is.
Very briefly, it's where a nameless, faceless, I call anonymous physician that is licensed somewhere in this country will look at medical documents regarding your case and make a determination as to whether or not you get the surgery or any other medical care that's recommended. You will note I did not say that the doctor will evaluate you, examine you, or even have the decency to pick up the phone and ask you how you're doing. None of that will be done. It's all anonymous. It all remains faceless. And I really don't think anybody would put up with that for their own family members or themselves. But yet, that is a system we have for workers' compensation.
And it hardly sounds like due process. We talk about getting a fair shake. How is that due process when the person isn't even seeing the doctor, doesn't know who the doctor is, and he doesn't even know what records they reviewed?
There is no due process. I mean, I have so many of these decisions come down, and I find myself asking, well, doctor, I sent you some documents to look at. You don't even know listing them. Did you review them? Did you not review them? Were they important? Were they not important? I'll never know.
You know, That happens all the time. We're going to talk a little bit more about NPR article and the ProPublica article after the news. Our phone lines are lighting up, 800-222-5222. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Parts of the country are braced for the potential of severe weather this afternoon and evening. Meteorologist John Trout has details.
And the tornado watch this afternoon has now expanded to four states, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska.
There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms for the mid-Atlantic, and that could impact the running of the Preakness in Baltimore. Correspondent Bob Costantini is there.
About 120,000 people will cram into Pimlico here to see the Preakness, which brings a rematch of the horses that battled to the finish in the Kentucky Derby. There's favorite Derby winner American Pharoah, though starting from the number one gate at the other end is Firing Line, second place in the Derby. And in the number two gate is Pharoah's stablemate, Dortmund.
Pitch Perfect 2 is giving Mad Max a run for his money. The Pitch Perfect sequel is projected to bring in $64 million in its opening weekend. It cost $29 million to make. Mad Max Fury Road is expected to top $40 million in box office, and both of these newbies are projected to knock the Avengers into third place. I'm Ann Cates.
Orange County Mattress is pleased to present the Tommy Bahama Mattress Collection. Save 50% off the retail price during this introductory offer at all Orange County Mattress locations. And mention this radio ad and save an additional $200. For a location near you, log on to ocmattress.com. Orange County Mattress, where you're the mattress expert.
If you know the part number for your oil filter is R-85348, but can only recall that your wedding anniversary is sometime in June, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for guys who really know and care about their car. And right now at CarQuest, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and a CarQuest Standard Series filter for $23.99. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
See participating stores for details.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years. And I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit Revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yes, indeed. It sounds like the Jim Rome Show right here. Welcome to the jungle. We're here at KABC Studios, and we are talking workers' compensation. And we're fortunate today that we are being videotaped, and we have probably the best videotaper in the world here, former Academy Award winner for Usual Suspects as a producer and second unit director, Ken Kokin, is in charge of the mic. It's a stationary mic. He's sitting on his telephone right now, texting other people as the camera rolls. You know, guys, we are here with Judge John Gutierrez, Bob McLaughlin, and Jason Marcus. We're talking about the NPR and the ProPublica reports, the investigative reports on workers' compensation that talk about the demolition of workers' compensation and how costs have shifted to the public in order to prevent, I guess, if you want to say that, the insurance companies from actually footing the bill for injured workers as part of the bargain. Now, both Howard Berkus and Michael Graybell were on with Judy Woodruff at PBS NewsHour, and Howard Berkus said that business always complains about the costs of workers' compensation insurance premiums. It's the cost that they pay workers when they're injured on the job. He further stated that each state is dropping costs, is lowering costs so that there's competition to be lower than the next state as the costs continue to get cut. Michael Grable added, a number of studies show that employers are paying the lowest rates that they have ever paid for workers' compensation insurance since the 1970s. In 2013, they had an 18% profit on the workers' comp line. That's the insurance companies. It was their best year since the 1990s. Wake up, people. Insurance companies are profiting while injured workers are suffering. We have Steve on the line. Steve, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, guys. Hey, I just had to call. You guys got me so fired up. I'm a residential and commercial roofing contractor in the Los Angeles, Southern California area. I've got 60 employees full-time when we have the workload for full-time. And my workers' comp rate is like almost 50 cents on the dollar. It's 49 cents with the workers' comp and payroll taxes. So I do a $20,000 payroll a week, and I've got a $10,000 payroll and workers' comp burden. It's 38 cents on the dollar for workers' comp and 11 or 12 cents for the payroll contribution. And I'm telling you, the competition out there is doing cash, and more cash. And it was a dollar-on-a-dollar burden for workers' comp plus payroll taxes, 10 years ago. And they said they were going to do reform this and reform that. And in roofing, in the roofing business, there's two categories for calculating the workers' comp burden.
Steve,
23? Yeah.
Hold on. It's my show, not yours. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you, have you had any injuries on the job for your people?
Yes, we have.
Okay,
and
Steve, yeah, you're glad you're protected. Do you care about them getting good treatment and getting back to work?
Oh, absolutely, and we have them back to work. That's fantastic.
Okay, now, we need to find out, Jason, let us know. Do you believe that the insurance companies are profiting from Steve? Because you work with people every day who are not receiving the medical treatment. Apparently, Steve is saying that the insurance companies are gouging him, yet their profits are going through the roof.
Well,
no pun intended, Steve, about the roof.
They certainly are profiting, and the frustrating thing is that an insurance company's job, in my opinion, is to take in money for the premium that Steve purchases for his employees, and then to make sure that that money gets paid out properly to workers that have been hurt. But insurance companies also have the incentive of maximizing profit for their shareholders, and how do they do that? By taking in premium and by not paying out benefits. And that's what I see on a daily basis. And so what I see is an employer that's unhappy and employees that are unhappy. Something's not right there.
I can give you a perfect example of that, too.
Go ahead.
A perfect example, I've got one workers' comp claim that's 3.5 years old, and he has had the employees had picked up a roll, hurt his back. Unfortunately, it was a new hire, and he had 102 chiropractic visits. And still the same problem never got better. Why did you go 102 times?
All right. First of all, I want to find that out because I don't believe that for a second, and I would like to see it. I would like to see the medical records because I'll tell you, Bob McLaughlin, isn't it true that you can't get your client for chiropractic visits because the utilization review is denying everything?
Yeah, there are several reasons why I can't get my clients to chiropractic care. One is utilization review. And what that is the insurance company's way of reviewing the treatment recommendation made by a doctor and comparing it to the standards put out by the state of California to see if it's appropriate care. The only thing is the way those standards are written, one person's interpretation is not somebody else's. And also, in addition, under the labor code, they have capped the amount of chiropractic care that can be provided at 24 times. So I can't see how anybody can get 102 unless the insurance company is not doing their job.
Well, we hear that, and thanks for the call, Steve. We appreciate it. We hear that all the time, Jason, Bob, Judge Gutierrez. We hear the employers complaining. Yet, when you read these articles, and I'm urging everyone who's listening and is interested, go to the NPR.org website, go to the ProPublica.org website, and type in workers' compensation. Read what they have to say. Because what you'll find is that people are not getting treatment, they're getting denied. There's a few classic cases that are given as examples, and I think we all can identify the Francis Stevens case. This is a case that's on appeal on the IMR, Independent Medical Review, to see whether, in fact, IMR is constitutional. Jason Marcus from Sacramento, applicant attorney from Marcus Regalado and Marcus, tell us what you know about the Stevens case.
Well, briefly, I know that Francis Stevens suffered an admitted injury in 1997 that resulted in a finding that she was what we call permanently totally disabled, meaning that because of the injury, she had completely lost her ability to work. And she also received an award of lifetime future medical care from the insurance company. And I believe that she received care for years and years and years. Obviously, the care wasn't going to cure her, but it was relieving her from the effects of her injury. And then sometime after 2013, after Senate Bill 863, which was the last major reform and brought about independent medical review, sometime after that bill was passed, State Fund, the insurance company in her case, sent her doctor's medical request to utilization review, which denied them. And she then sought an independent medical review, which again denied that care. And then Ms. Stevens and her attorney have filed an appeal challenging the constitutionality of the IMR system, essentially saying that it violates the constitutional provisions that the judge referenced earlier and Ms. Stevens' due process rights in her case.
Yeah, you know, we all have cases like that. In fact, I have a case that just this week, it is a woman who unfortunately suffered a catastrophic, devastating injury, called Aquina syndrome, which affects the lower back, the lumbosacral spine, and she is unfortunately bowel incontinent and urinary incontinent, and she wears diapers, she's in a wheelchair, as she has had such a tough time. She's a really nice lady. She was getting psychological treatment since the time that this happened because her whole life, as you can imagine, fell apart. She can't do much anymore, and she's always afraid to go out of the house because of the problems that she experiences, wearing diapers, etc. Now, they have just used utilization review to deny her psychological treatment. She doesn't know where to turn. She was crying and crying, and she says it's the psychological treatment that she's gotten is the only thing that has allowed her to continue on in life, and now she considers committing suicide after she's had years of psychological treatment, and now they just willy-nilly deny it. You know, we have another caller on the line. Bonnie is calling Gervie's Law. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hello.
Hi. Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, just a layperson, but I work in a small company, 110 people, Southern California. And we were just informed yesterday that our workman comp is almost going to double insurance costs. So I don't understand why workman comp's going up when you, I think you're saying it's going down the insurance.
Well, you know, may I comment on that? It's very interesting, Bonnie, you say that, because just earlier this year, very recently actually, the insurance commissioner, who doesn't control workers' compensation rates but can only make advisories, recommended a rate reduction in the rate that insurance companies use to calculate what they're going to charge employers, and I believe it was somewhere around a 10% reduction that they recommended. And this was also recommended by the insurance group, what we call the WCIRB. So I find it very odd that the state is saying, hey, you can lower your rates because there's going to be cost savings, and yet we hear from an employer that they're going to notice that their rates are going to go up.
Right, and you need to look at the independent sources. NPR's Planet Money a couple of years ago said that the workers' compensation is costing taxpayers $260 billion per year. That's what we call cost shifting. So the insurance companies are doubling their rates. They are screwing the employers. Yet, when it comes to the benefits, the administration of benefits, they're lobbying the legislature to change the law so they don't have to pay out benefits for injured workers. And that's what's happening all over the country. It's happening here in California. Judge Gutierrez, we're talking to Judge John Gutierrez, retired, has been in workers' compensation for many years. Tell us what your experience has been when you've been sitting on the bench seeing an injured worker being denied treatment.
Well, this is what happens. This is what I see, what I feel, is that the injured worker will come in with his attorney, and they are looking at me as the judge with a person who they look at with authority and neutrality, and they're being denied their benefits, and they're asking me, Judge, what can you do about this? I mean, you're the judge. Why can't you order the defendants to pay my benefits? Well, the problem is that the laws have changed so much that they're designed to deny benefits to the injured worker. And what I come away with that is I see the anguish, the anxiety, and the desperation in the way they are communicating their suffering to me.
Right. And isn't it true, Judge Gutierrez, that you wrote in one of your decisions, the irony is that we are all workers and what we do or have already done to injured workers and their affected families through our legislature and passing SB 89 and 863, we do to ourselves.
Yes, I did write that. I mean, imagine this. Would you want your mother, your father, your brother, your sister to be treated the way that injured workers are being treated under this current system?
Bonnie, would you agree with that?
Absolutely, but I just don't understand why I would be paying so much more money. They're not paying the claims. That's right. We had four claims this year, and the four claims got denied.
Well, if
four claims were denied, and they doubled your rates. That's something to think about. All of you out there, you're understanding a little bit more about the fallacy that is workers' compensation. I'm Alan Gervie. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
Three beers a day could increase your risk of cancer. Scientific study. Not that surprising, McKenna.
No, how is that shocking?
I know alcohol is a carcinogen. That's what's so crazy about alcohol being a good drug and certain other drugs being bad drugs. That's craziness.
Let me just say this, because I know every idiot boozer that's listening goes, you know, in France, they drink all day, every day. They have a glass of wine at lunch every day. France, Italy, they drink every day. What's the problem? And I go, yeah, you know how many alcoholics there are? There's massive amounts
of,
and you
know,
it's just different. And it's just because you have like 90% unemployment and an economy that wouldn't even be able to keep Tustin going, and you're gonna sit there and say, well, but that's what they do over there.
Oh yeah. Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Weekdays noon to 3 on KABC.
Any person who makes a cause to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, we are back. This is Alan Gervie, and it's Gervie's Law. Carrie Kasem is in Vegas. She's not here with me today as usual. She's at the Billboard Music Awards, and we're talking workers' compensation. Our phone lines have just lit up. We have so many people calling and saying, you're off base. You're off base. You don't know what you're talking about. I want to tell you something. You can all come on this station and tell me how off base we are, but we are quoting the investigative reporting of independent organizations who took 8 to 10 months on this stuff. 8 to 10 months of investigative reporting from independent organizations. This isn't Alan Gervie speaking, although I am talking right now. This isn't Robert McLaughlin. It isn't Jason Marcus. It isn't Judge John Gutierrez retired. It is organizations that are professional organizations doing investigative reporting. So if you can tell me, all of you employers who are calling in to say how bad the rates are and that you want to go to another state, well, go to another state. See how it works out for you. We want to talk a little bit more about these articles. Bob McLaughlin, you told me you have a few statistics. And, of course, the naysayers are saying you're just making them up.
Well, actually, no, they're not. The national statistics on what workers' compensation premiums were per $100 of payroll compared in 1988 were $3.42. When they did the NPR article in 2014, it's $1.85.
And what does that mean? Numbers make me crazy.
Yeah, that just basically means that employers are paying a lot less than they did in 1988, and that's in 1988 dollars, not in 2014.
Okay, so that's a study that's been done. It's not an individual employer who says, my rates are going through the roof.
No, they look at it overall throughout the entire nation.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, let's talk a little bit about medical treatment. Are these people who are injured on the job getting medical treatments? What's a medical provider network, Jason Marcus?
Well, a medical provider network is something that was brought into place in 2004, and it's something that allows an employer or an insurance company to set up a network of doctors that they get to pick. They get to choose who's on the network, who's not. There are certain criteria they have to meet about how many doctors are on, but if they have what is otherwise a valid network or an MPN, the injured worker in most cases has to choose a doctor within that network if they want the insurance company to pay for that treatment.
Now, with these MPNs, what do you think is one problem? I can tell you about 50 problems. Tell me what you think is the most salient problem for your clients to get treatment with the MPN.
Well, the caveat is that I practice in the North, and as much as we have the same rules, the North and the South are really different worlds with respect to workers' compensation. So I know that you and Bob, being in the South, have different views on MPNs than we do in the North. But one problem we see is that doctors are sometimes reluctant to be viewed as a pro-injured worker or too aggressive for the injured worker for fear that they are going to get kicked off the network or otherwise face some sort of retribution or punishment from the insurance company that controls that network.
And that's a huge problem. You know, we have all spoken to doctors, and they feel like they have a gun to their head. There are letters that come from the insurance companies that are almost threatening them. If they say something that the insurance company doesn't agree with, they're going to be kicked off the MPN and will not be able to pursue their livelihood, which is being a doctor. Bob McLaughlin, you are nodding your head.
Yeah, well, I see a lot of problems with the MPNs. One is that doctors have been told they can't treat body parts that, according to the insurance company, are not injured on the job, even though the person's complained about it from day one, but it was never looked at. That's a problem. Second thing is getting authorization for the injured worker to even be seen by the doctor. Sometimes you call up these lists of doctors, and half of them say, we don't take workers' compensation, we don't know why we're
right.
on the
and
list.
And that takes a long time to finally find a doctor who's willing to see it. What have been the impact that you've seen, Judge Gutierrez, when you were on the bench, when you saw people who were suffering because they weren't getting the treatment?
Well, I couldn't understand why have an MPN if the injured worker can't get the treatment. I mean, you have these doctors in this program, in this provider network, that are supposedly designed to provide the treatment, but yet they're not getting the authorization to treat the injured worker.
That's a good point. Now, isn't it also true that utilization review, which is coordinated through the employers, are actually reviewing their own doctors who are on the MPN?
That's correct.
And they're denying the treatment that these MPN doctors are requesting.
Which doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all to have a program for treatment when you're not able to get the treatment. It's just ridiculous.
Lowell, you're on Gervey's Law with Alan Gervey and a trio of attorneys and judges. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Alan?
What's going on, Lowell?
Not a whole lot. That's the problem. You got me fired up out here in San Bernardino.
Tell us why.
Well, Alan, let me just address those individuals that have called in saying that this is a bunch of hogwash that you're trying to sell. I have been involved in the workers' comp system, unfortunately, for 15 years.
Wow.
I was hurt on the job in 2000, as you're well aware. I have sat through now three governors for the state of California, and my situation is still unresolved. My condition is worsened to the point where I'm in excruciating pain. I heard one of the your clients say that they had contemplated suicide. I've had that thought several times.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Lowell. Lowell, let me ask you something. Do you believe that all of these delays have worsened your condition, have caused you to be perhaps out of the labor market where you would have been able to return to work if you would have gotten the treatment and gotten out of that excruciating pain?
Absolutely. 100% absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's almost if you cut yourself and you don't treat it, it becomes infected, it festers, and it's going to get worse. The situation has not gotten better. I have gotten worse. And certainly, you know, and as well as anyone that's involved with this, that it's not the attorney, it's not the doctor. It is the system that ties their hands.
You got that right. Lowell, thanks. We got to move on. Thanks for calling Gervie's Law. You know, OSHA reported that they echo ProPublica and NPR's workers' compensation findings. That's OSHA, which is, of course, the Safety and Health Administration for the federal government, and locally it's the California OSHA, Cal OSHA. So when these people are saying that what we're saying is a bunch of hogwash, I don't understand. Independent organizations and entities like OSHA are saying that ProPublica and NPR got it right. What are we going to do in the future? And I want to talk a little bit about this new bill that is up in Sacramento, and that's where Jason Marcus practices. It's Senator Pan, isn't it? And he's trying to put through a bill that would eliminate utilization review on older cases that have been resolved and that are just future medical with authorization from the past. Is that correct?
Very roughly speaking, yeah. And the bill is still in flux. I think there's some amendments that are going on. But essentially the idea is to, for those people whose cases have settled, have an award of future medical care, or there's been a treatment plan that has been approved and it is what we would effectively call maintenance care. Again, like I talked about Ms. Stevens, it's not going to cure them, but it relieves them, it helps improve their function, it lets them live their lives in some fashion. For those types of treatment, this bill would essentially eliminate utilization review for that treatment.
Right. So, because what we're finding, of course, are people are being denied treatment after they've had, you know, years of, for instance, high blood pressure medication, leaving them without high blood pressure medication just because they can't. We only have a couple of minutes. I want to go around the table. First of all, I want to thank you all for being here. But I want you to tell me in as short a time as you can how we can change this system. We are trying to take negatives and turn them into positives right here on Gervie's Law. Judge John Gutierrez retired. Please tell us, how can this system be changed?
Well, first of all, the employers and the insurance companies need to understand the reason why workers' compensation came into effect. And that was to provide medical treatment, reasonable and necessary medical treatment to cure or relieve the symptoms of an injury. And the initial concept was that the cost of workers' compensation was to be passed on to the consumer. That's how it was going to be paid. So, and there's other ways of
trying to... So how do we change it?
Well, I think at this point, as far as I'm concerned, the workers' compensation no longer has jurisdiction over disability. It only has it over impairment. And...
Well, that's a whole other subject
that's
for another
a whole other
time.
Subject. Yes, it is.
Bob McLaughlin, how do we change the system?
I think part of the way we change is by what we're doing right here. We have to have debates between employers and employees that are injured. We have to realize, as Francis Stevens said, that people have to realize and stand up that the system is broken. If they do not, they're not going to realize it until it's too late and they have their injury. We might also need another national commission to look into this.
Very good. Jason Marcus, you have the final word other than me.
Yes. I think the biggest change I'd like to see is that The recommendations of treating doctors, the people that are seen and evaluating the injured workers, that those things, those doctors' recommendations are followed and not second-guessed by faceless doctors that the insurance company gets to pick.
Great point. Let's lobby the government. Let them know. Everyone, let them know what NPR and ProPublica wrote. Tune in next week right here on Talk Radio 790.